Turn with me to Psalm 130. We've been looking at a few of these short psalms, these psalms of ascent toward the end of the Psalter. And this morning, Psalm 130. We sang it. I don't know if you recognize that, but when we sang Martin Luther's setting of this, when we sang one of our songs this morning, "From the depths of woe I raise to thee." In fact, that's the first line of the psalm, in fact, is "out of the depths," out of the psalm. It reminded me of my pop music listening days when James Taylor had a song back in the 90s, "Down in the Hole." And I Googled it up just to see if it was still around, and I found out that, you want me to do a version of that? Where's the band? Let me just read you this is the chorus. You may have been in a hole. This is, by the way, you may be in a hole this morning. Some of you may have, this is a song of ascent. The implication is that you've got to come up. And so perhaps you can identify with the need to ascend. James Taylor, "Down in the Hole, Lord." Interesting, I don't know what James Taylor knows of him. Writes this from his hole. "Down in the hole, Lord, it's deep and the sides are steep and the nights are long and cold down in the hole. Light and love and the world above mean nothing to the mole." Don't mean nothing to the mole. If you're a mole this morning, just need to come up and put your head above ground. As I Googled it up just to get the lyrics, I found out that Alice in Chains did their own song, "Down in the Hole." Keeper Sullivan of Old 24 did a song, "Down in the Hole." Bruce Springsteen in 2014 did "Down in the Hole." Apparently there are holes out there. And this morning, since we know the Lord who descended, that we could ascend, let's ask Him to come by His Spirit and lift us this morning. Let's pray. You're the one who does this, Lord God. Lord Jesus' Son went into the dark that we don't have to live there. So we ask you this morning, wherever we are, wherever hearts are, wherever hearts that are in this room are now, that you would lift our eyes to this Jesus. And so we pray it in no other name than that. We pray it in His name. Amen. This is God's Word. Psalm 130 doesn't have any errors in it. Since He breathed it, you can trust it as you hear it. The Word of God, it's a song of ascents. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Thus far, God's Word. He does bless His Word by His Spirit to His gathered people. We're going to just, the psalm itself will provide our structure. Two verbs here. I cry and I wait. I cry and I wait. When the psalmist writes this psalm, we don't know when it was written. This is not a psalm where we have a particular thing we know was going on in the life of a particular psalmist. It's collected here in this group called the Songs of Ascents. But when the psalmist says, "out of the depths," he's not just talking about being discouraged. We speak of, you know, being in the depths. He's not, the depths here are, when the scriptures use that word, most of the time it's talking about ocean depths. It's talking about, you know, for nearly bottomless depths. When he talks about depths here, he's not just talking about that subjective, dejected feeling. He's talking about an objective danger. In other words, these are the depths of deadly danger. It's a drowning place. You know, these Psalms, it's interesting to note that in this one in particular, it's a singular first person I. Look at your text if you've got it there before you. If you don't, there's a Bible under the seat if you'd like to look along. This came out of a personal experience of this man. But he experienced it personally, but then you know how songs get written. Something happens, or you conceive of something, and you write it out like all those that I just alluded to. You experience it, but then you write it out for other people to take it to their lips. Isn't that interesting? So he's exposing his own heart, but it got collected because it was something that we could all do. Out of one man's heart, we heard Tori's testimony this morning. You know, out of one young lady's heart, we all get to be raised up from where we are. And so it was written by one man out of one experience, but it was written for the whole community to sing. So it's very personal. We get to do that in here. That you get to be the person that you are in here. We take prayers on our lips. We take confessions on our lips. We say these things. But you get to do that as the person you are and be as listen, he knows what's going on. He knows that. And so we get to come in here and we don't have to fake our way through. Yes, we have an order of worship. Yes, we've thought very carefully about what we're going to do and say up here. Very carefully. But you get to come in here and not just do a rote. You can bring your whole heart into the room. The psalmist did as he opened his up before the people of God. He's personal with God. We mention this often when we're looking at the scriptures of the Old Testament. But look with me. I want you to note this. I almost read it this way. Note that in the first verse of the psalm, we've got that Lord in all capitals. He says, I cry to you, O Lord, capital O-R-D. I know I hit this often, but it's very important. That's a name. That's not a title. When you see all those capitals, it's the psalmist calling out to God by his name. Yahweh, he calls him. That name that God said of himself, I'm going to be with you. Bible students, theologians will tell you that when the Old Testament psalmist cries out Yahweh that way, it's about as close as it gets to us calling out Father. It's right at that Abba Father. It's an intimate. He's calling him by name. Other times in the psalm, look right down in verse 2, and it's capital L, but the lowercase O-R-D, and he's calling him then by that title. He's saying, you're the owner of everything. You see, so he's switching back and forth. He calls him by name, Yahweh, owner, and he toggles, if you will, back and forth. But he's being very personal with God. So he's being personal with us, the psalmist, if you will, by the work of the Spirit. He's laid his heart out before us so we could take his experience and own it, because you've been in a hole and perhaps are in one. So he's done that, and then he's gotten personal with God. The worst thing in the world is to be in the depths and to have no one to call out on. You see, the most horrific thing in the world is to be in the hole and have nobody to call. Well, the psalmist calls. And he needs someone. He says, be attentive. He needs someone who both hears and listens. He needs someone who is not only pays attention, but gives attention. Not only, there's a calling to us in that as well, you see. Not only does he hear, but he listens. And not only does he pay attention, but he gives attention to what he's heard. And he goes into the dark place where the need is. The next verse, I think, is one of the strangest in the Bible. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. God doesn't forget what's happened, but he doesn't store it up and use it for us. As it was noted earlier, Lisa and I took a quick trip last week to take care of that family calling we had, and we only told a few, you know, you, what we were up to, but we did. I think we did go Google up or go on Facebook and let somebody know that we were headed to D.C. and we had not gotten in the car and made 30 miles out of town before popping up on Elisa's phone were ads for places to stay in Washington, D.C. They already had us. They'd read our Facebook. Probably not anybody read it, but some algorithm read it and was it was paying attention, I guess, and it was giving attention, but it didn't care. Didn't care why we were going there or what we were going to do there. But this God, he knows what we're doing and why we're doing it, and he cares, and yet he's not marking up our mixed motives. When have you ever gotten in a car and gone anywhere or addressed anybody, had any relationship with anybody where your motives weren't mixed? And I would tell you that last week as we headed on that trip, I would have said my motives were about as unmixed as they could be. Get me there. But it's not true. I can tell you I was already wondering about, well, what about my work or what about my, you know, who's going to do this? All that stuff. The Lord takes all that information. He doesn't have to ferret through my Facebook page. I don't have one. But I know somebody who does. Or my emails. And I do Google a lot. Occasionally I vary that and I Bing instead of Googling. But he knows all those things. But he even the things that have run through, but he marks nothing against me. How would you have written that verse? If you were the Bible writer and you had to do that, with you there is blank that you may be feared. How would you fill that in? How would you fill it in? What would make you fear? I'd say with you there is judgment that you may be feared. With you there is power that you may be feared. But I would never have come up with this. With you there is forgiveness. Or do it the other way. How would you say, with you there is forgiveness that you may be blank? What would that do? With you, think of it if you're a dad or a mom or a big brother. Or big sister, or maybe a little one. Yeah, with you, there's forgiveness. So that what? Normally, I would kind of feel that with you, there's forgiveness. So I don't worry about it. With you, there's forgiveness because it apparently doesn't matter. So that you will not be feared. So what does it mean? Something is wrong here by our normal way of reasoning. If with him there is forgiveness. Something we don't understand. We either don't understand the forgiveness or we don't understand the fear. If I had those little clicker things where you could vote on something, that'd be a poll I'd take. How many of you think it is that we don't understand forgiveness, and how many of it think it is we don't understand the fear? The forgiveness is actually defined for us in there. It says he does not mark iniquities. That is, sin's not held against the sinner. That's the definition he gives there. In other words, condemnation doesn't fall on the guilty. So for me, then, as I read it, I've got to figure out, then, what's my misconception about fear? So how does he define the fear? Apparently, he says that fear is, that is to say, his forgiveness is the evidence that I don't have anything else to fear. That he doesn't mark my iniquities. You see, everybody else does. You do. I mean, you do it. We do it for each other. Just catch yourself in the car on the way home. If there ain't somebody in here you're going to criticize, you know, or if you remember not to do it out loud. There's something you, but he doesn't mark iniquities. And so I don't have to, you don't have to fear anybody else. It's a fear that makes you run to instead of run from. It's, you know, the most famous C.S. Lewis Aslan story of little Susan who approaches Aslan or is about to approach Aslan, and Mr. Beaver is talking to her about it. This is, you know, one of his most famous episodes, pictures from the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where little Susan says, "Well, is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. With him there's forgiveness. So you don't have to fear anything else. You get to run to him. He's fearsome, so you get to run to him. That's the kind of Lord he is. You see, he is so majestic and so he is so powerful that he can overcome even my sin and yours. He doesn't have to mark it because he's done something about it. He doesn't have, it doesn't have to go into an algorithm. It can be erased. You know, you really can't do that. I don't know where you've been on your computer or your phone in the last 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months. I don't know. But you know, we can't erase it. Somebody out there somewhere can. He doesn't mark them. He has cleaned it all the way up. And so when you're in the hole, and the waters would overflow you, you get to do what the psalmist does. Instead of screaming for him to stay away, you can cry to him and ask him to come to you. There's the first verb. The second one is I wait. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. Over and over in the Psalms, I've ran a copy. I didn't bring it in here. There are dozens of places in the Psalms where this idea of fear and hope run together. Fear and hope, fear and hope. One is, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. We read that one, Psalm 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. So what does it mean, in that case, to wait? How do you wait? It's not a slumping, flaccid, kind of impassive posture. The waiting is not the waiting has movement to it. I quote Eugene Peterson as he comments on this psalm. He said, "It is not fatalistic resignation. It means going about our assigned tasks, confident that God will provide the meaning and the conclusions. It is not compelled to work away at keeping up appearances with a bogus spirituality. It is the opposite of desperate and panicky manipulation." So you get to go ahead and do the things that you're called to do. You get to go ahead and do the next thing before you do something. You get to do that, assuming and assured that God's going to do something. By the way, that's in a book that entitled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. So this waiting not only has movement, it has a direction. And its direction is Jesus. Its direction is Lord. And we don't have to wonder what he's like. He says, I wait for the Lord. Verse 5, my soul waits. In his word I hope. And so you're not left with a God of your imagination. You're not left with wondering what he's like or who he is. You've got a word inspired by his spirit, and then a heart opened by his spirit, so you can really know who he is. Suffer me another quote. Charles Spurgeon, every Presbyterian's favorite Baptist. Waiting, he says, commenting. Waiting, we study the Word, believe the Word, hope in the Word, live on the Word, and all because it is his Word, the Word of him who never speaks in vain. I'm going to read that again. Waiting. We study the Word, believe the Word, hope in the Word, live on the Word, and all because it is his Word, the Word of him who never speaks in vain. So, what's the Word? It's his Word. We live on it. We're going to come to the table and, as it were, eat it. What is it? What is that Word? Well, it's right here. Look at it. He says, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Larry from all his iniquities. There's the Word. The Word is the promise that he does what he does for moles down in the hole. And he has never made a promise that he hasn't kept. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. More than watchman for the morning. The original singers of this song, they knew that he was going to do that, that this God was going to redeem them. They knew that. They counted on it. They didn't know how. They had the promise, but they didn't, how shall we say it? They didn't know the mechanism. Can I use that word? They didn't know exactly what God was going to do. They just knew that he was going to do it. Maybe what the picture is they ascend into Jerusalem as they sing this song on their way up to worship. As they head in town, there was the morning sacrifice. And as they headed up, the morning sacrifice that'd be a lamb a smoking. And maybe what they were doing is the morning, that dawn sacrifice was on. Maybe what they were doing is they headed up Jerusalem. They were kind of on tiptoe, waiting for the sun to come up, just enough for them to see the smoke rise and to know that the sacrifice was done and that one more time God was promising that he was going to forgive their sin. Now, they didn't know. They knew that killing a lamb, burning a fire, wasn't going to do it. But they knew that God kept his promises. And so they were waiting. We know, don't we? I'm going to read to you briefly Hosea the prophet. Here's what we know. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. Listen. Listen carefully. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Listen, that's that Jesus. We in him, he the Word made flesh, we in him in us, after 2 days, on the third day, was raised up, and you were with him. So, out of your hole, cry to him. And if you'll do that this morning, listen, we come to this table, it's a foretaste. It's a waiting table. This is not the full. One day your sin's going to be gone. Every vestige of the hole, you know, the roots and the worms and all that other stuff there that's down there in the hole with us, all that's going to be gone. In the meantime, this is food to get us to the dawn. And if you'll take this food in faith in Christ, it's just bread and it's just juice. But the Spirit of God works in this to remind you that your living Savior did die for you and He did rise for you. And that in Him, none of your iniquities is marked. Not a one. Let's pray. Father, we ask You now to take these words out of Your Word and seal them to us so that whether in a hole right now or one is to come in days ahead, that we'll know how to cry to You and we'll know that with You, there is plenteous redemption. So come and feed us now, we pray. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If elders will meet me at the table.